Spectacle. I'm Ian Jortson.
I'm Mike Gamble.
And I'm Nick Kinzel.
And we're going to be talking about the Busch Clash and Daytona 500 qualifying. But first, we want to mention that we're on Spotify and Anchor now, so make sure to check us out. It's the Stock Car Spectacle on there. Make sure to check out For the Lead. They've been giving us a lot of love, and they have a new show coming out this week, so make sure to check them out. I know Mike's a really good buddy with those guys over there.
Yeah, check out what they got going on, guys. Connor and Timothy are heading down to Daytona for the 500. They're going to have a lot of great content coming out, so we encourage all our listeners to check out what they got going on for the week.
That's right. And then make sure to check out Cotto's Mojo. It is run by my good buddy, Patrick Cotto. I'm going to be on this week's show. We're going to be talking about the Daytona 500 and other sports-related things. And then make sure to check us out on Instagram. Our handle is at Stock Car Spectacle, and make sure to check out our Twitter, which is stock_car_spec. And then make sure to check out Ashlyn Hedden's Racing. And then we're also switching over our intro music now. We want to thank Matt Klug. He was under the name Grinch for his DJ name, and Jack Kovach for their music contributions to our show. We're going to be moving on to more of like a rock kind of theme instead of the EDM by my good buddy Adam Cristofaro. Make sure to check him out on SoundCloud. So after all that, let's roll into our diecast of the week.
Let's do it.
Let's do
what
it.
You boys got?
All right. Well, just take a guess of what, during the week, what did you think I was going to bring? Because that's exactly what I brought.
Well, easy. I knew what not to bring for my collection.
So what we got here today is my first ever diecast I ever got. I got it in eighth grade. It's 2011 raced win version of Trevor Bayne's Daytona 500 win. God, I feel old now. That was almost 9 years ago that happened. Oh my goodness! I was about maybe this tall when that happened. But yeah, this is it, guys. This is the one that got me into NASCAR. That's the first ever NASCAR race I ever watched, the 2011 Daytona 500.
Yep.
Because I'm gonna be honest with you boys. Before that, I was with all the other NASCAR haters, just making left turns. Like, this is so boring. But then finally one day, I watched a race with my dad. Happened to be this one. I was like, this is pretty cool. And then, yeah, when Trevor won, I was like, well, got my boy. So yep. that is why I'm a Trevor Bayne fan. For anyone who was wondering, it's just the iconic, the red, the white, the gold, like Pearson drove it.
Exactly.
And it is autographed by Trevor, first thing. Second thing I ever got autographed by him, so it's, yeah, it brings back a lot of memories.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure,
good looking car, yep.
Oh, yeah. All right, what you got, Mike? All
right, so I win with the 2018 Daytona dual winning car of Ryan Blaney. This is a raced win version. Really cool highlighter yellow car. Ryan had a really good run in the duels, obviously winning it, and had a really good run in the 500 going, led a bunch of laps. I believe that was a 500 he led the most laps in. One of the reasons I think he's going to be one of the better plate racers as we move forward.
Right.
So,
Yeah, it's a beautiful car.
So. And another one, surprise, surprise, I think we all knew what you were picking.
Yeah, right. So I had to go with Kurt Busch's Daytona 500 win from 2017. That was actually on my 20th birthday. So that was a really cool way to spend it. Kurt started eighth. He got caught speeding on pit road. He kind of got caught in the middle of the pack. Finished stage one, 22nd. Harvick went on to win stage two. Kurt finished third in that stage. And then on lap 129, Jimmy Johnson kind of got into a little contact with Trevor Bayne and then kind of piled up, caused the big one. Kurt was on the high side, so he kind of got squeezed into the wall by Johnson, Buescher, and Trevor Bayne. But didn't damage the car much. He only had a sheet metal problem, so they just taped it up, had a pit stop and went back out. And then on the final lap, Kyle Larson had the lead, and Kurt was just trekking him down. Kyle Larson runs out of gas. Blaney's trying to make a big move on Kurt Busch.
It's just like Kurt checked out after that.
Yeah, he was like five cars ahead of him, and it was insane. And went on to win his first ever Daytona 500.
I mean, talk about a race to win diecast. That thing looks like it went the distance and got beat up in the 500.
You got duct tape on
there. Oh, my God.
Even after when he did the burnout, he got the pile of grass on the hood.
That's a good-looking car for sure.
That was probably – that made it my best birthday ever, probably.
It's a hell of a present.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. All right, so let's roll into the Busch Clash review and the Daytona 500 pole qualifying.
All right. So let's start off with Daytona 500 pole qualifying. So to me, it seemed like a lot of drivers seemed to choose handling of their race car instead of qualifying trim, because we saw a lot of guys go out there. These are guys that we're used to seeing up at the front, but they really weren't up at the front. But this is what I've been seeing in qualifying for like the last year or so now. Everybody's choosing to go for handling for the race, for the duels and everything, and for the 500, then that Q trim. But yeah, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. really came out and made a statement early with his new team with JTG Doherty Racing.
Oh, yeah.
He is on the pole for the Daytona 500, and Alex Bowman's going to start second. So there's still a Hendrick car on the Daytona 500 front row, because the past couple years it's just been all Hendrick. But yeah, we didn't really see that.
And that's Bowman's third consecutive front row start for the 500.
It's crazy. So yeah, after qualifying, we got our dual lineups here. So dual one is really the one that we really want to pay attention to.
Yeah.
Because you got a lot of guys in here. You got Elliott, you got Hamlin, you got Logano, you got Keselowski. But the guy I'm really looking at here is starting 19th in this race, and that is Mr. Daniel Suarez.
Yep.
Because Gaunt Brothers Racing, they are a non-chartered team. So, and Daniel was not one of the fastest non-charter cars. That belonged to Justin Haley and Brennan Gaunt. Congratulations to those guys for locking in the Daytona 500. But yeah, for Suarez, it's a man on a mission now. He must race his way into the Daytona 500. I saw it on NASCAR America today. The guys were talking about it. And yeah, this is true. This is a situation Suarez has never been in before, because he's always been with organizations who have the charter. But it's going to be a little bit different with him, because his car... This is the first test for Gaunt Brothers Racing to see if Suarez could make his way to Daytona 500.
Right, yeah. The pressure's on early for this team. This is a program that we talked about in our season preview show, kind of being a no expectations, learn as we go, kind of reevaluate where we're at every month. They don't get that luxury week one. They got to put the pedal to the metal and get right after it, or they're going to be on the outside looking in, and that's not where they want to be.
Exactly.
Yeah, in the end, I think Daniel Suarez is a smart enough guy. I really feel confident that he's going to be able to make his way into the Daytona 500, because he's got the experience of these restricted play races. So I'm not too worried, but then again, he's starting 19th. Anything could go wrong for him. So, and if that does, he's going to miss the Daytona 500. He's got a very good chance of not making it. So that's crazy. And then dual lineup number two, you got Alex Bowman, you got Johnson, Kyle Busch, Byron, Harvick's in this one, Matty D. And then just a couple other guys who are going to try and race their way in. My boy BJ McLeod's got to get it done, starting 21st. Didn't even put up a qualifying lap. So, but yeah, out of the two, dual one is going to be the one you want to watch for sure. So,
yeah.
Exactly.
Dual one's way more star-studded.
Yeah.
Dual two does have some interesting storylines. So you've got Matt DiBenedetto in that duel. Going to have to finally see what he can do in that car.
Because
he was definitely one of the people that I thought looked like they set their car up for handling rather for speed for a qualifying.
Another driver to look out for in Duel 2 would be Cole Custer, because this is going to be his first ever Cup Series plate race.
Correct.
It's because Tyler Reddick, he ran in the 500 last
year. Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see how he runs in the pack with a Cup car. All right, so let's move into the clash. We had Ryan Newman. He is going to be starting on the pole, or he started on the pole by a random draw. And first half of the race was just single file. You know, it's your normal Daytona stuff, like, you know, with the start of the race. And the second half, it was just an absolute demolition derby, boys.
It really wasn't even the first half. It was all the way up. It was the first 65 laps of the race. The final 10 laps is when all hell broke loose on the racetrack. And then it's like, am I watching the Menards ARCA Racing Series?
Yeah,
what am I watching? Like, I've discredited ARCA drivers for being too reckless at Daytona, but these are the Cup boys.
And not only the Cup boys, this is more or less an all-star
this
race.
This is like your all-star field, and the way they were driving, it was just...
It was crazy. Yeah. Well, we had Joey Logano pulling about probably 5 or 6 blocks in front of Kyle Busch, and eventually basically took himself out. Caused a big wreck. Keselowski was
I think Brad Keselowski said it best. It was just dumb racing.
It was dumb racing.
Absolutely no reason for it.
Yeah, we can sit here and try to pin the blame on one of the two drivers, the 18 or the 22. Either way, honestly, in my opinion, it really doesn't matter. It's stupid either way.
Yeah.
You're wrecking up a bunch of race cars for no reason.
Exactly.
Yeah, like
so. And it's the clash, too. You don't need to be doing that. It's not, you know, it's only for bragging rights and a trophy, so...
Yeah, well, we really saw a lot there. And six cars finished the race out of the 18 that started.
Yep. And then we had a car that was a lap down pushing Eric Jones to the lead.
Denny Hamlin was pushing Eric Jones, and Eric Jones, who was involved in prior wrecks, Still can't.
Almost every rap.
It looks like his car belongs in a race car graveyard.
Yeah,
well, it looks like it belongs in that demolition game that came out for yeah. Xbox and all that.
Right. Well, at the end of the day, Eric Jones somehow survived and he wins the 2020
Plus
Class.
Yeah, it's amazing, man.
It really was. The race was really a tale of two halves. You saw the first half of the race, like we said, it looked like everyone was trying to play a strategy. They got in line, didn't want to let anything happen. You saw the Chevy drivers trying to make it on fuel. Yeah. Then they realized that they were going to come up short because the pack was going to catch them anyway. Yeah, and that's when it all hell broke loose.
Well, once the pack got caught up to those Chevys, that's when all hell broke loose.
Yeah, just pandemonium at that point. It just got crazy. One of the really weirdest moments to me was that restart wreck where it looked like Byron and Ryan Newman didn't time their start well and got real squirrely.
I'm thinking either something might have been on the track there or they just both...
Somebody had just spun his tires, something on the back of him. Yeah. It's just something you really don't see on
talented drivers at this level. No, it's ridiculous.
That's why people were comparing this to the ARCA series. Like, what's going on here? You guys can't even get a clean restart. Oh my goodness, it was bad. But yeah, so I guess that brings up my question here. Is it time for NASCAR to change the format of the Busch Clash? Like, maybe they go back to a 20-lap shootout, and maybe they limit the amount of cars who are able to enter the class. So what are your boys' thoughts on that?
I don't hate the idea of going back to a 20-lap shootout. I think the reason the first half of the race was so boring is because you knew with the length of the race there were going to be multiple pit stops involved, as well as there's no point in racing that hard that early because you have so much race to go. I think if you make that a 20-lap race, you alleviate a lot of that. However, I don't know if I like the limiting of the cars that can enter. Anytime you get to a super speedway race, I think the more cars on the track, the more opportunities for drafting, more opportunities for people to pull out of line and have partners go with them. I think if you're taking cars off the track, I don't think that's going to help this kind of racing.
Yeah, I'm right with you. Make it a 20-lap shootout because the first, 55 laps that we saw was just, kind of the tandem riding. And just, with the final, 20 to 15 laps, we actually saw some real racing, guys making some moves. So just make it to a 20-lap race. It's not even that, important of a race anyway.
Right.
So, let's just make that happen.
All right, I agree with you guys. Because the first ever Busch Clash was only 20 laps. I think the 20 laps, it's just intensities when the green flag drops. So those guys are already going to be going for it on lap one instead of the 75 laps.
Right.
It's like you said, because I feel like what we saw in the first 65 laps of this race is what we're going to see for the first two stages of the Daytona 500. Those guys are just going to take care of their stuff. Third stage, time to go. Right. So I like it going to a 20-lap shootout. I think NASCAR might want to reconsider doing that. So, and as far as the cars go, keep it. I like the 18, actually.
I do, too.
If they keep it at 18 cars, I think they're just gonna still put on a good show for 20 laps.
Yeah, absolutely. I was actually reading something today. They used to have the Busch Series driver that had the most poles enter in for the
Busch
clash.
Sponsoring them or something like that. That's
so
cool.
I feel like that'd be something cool to still kind of bring in, especially maybe even this year because we had who. Either Reddick, Custer, or Bell, whoever had the most poles, they would have been able to go because they have a cup ride anyway.
Yeah, if they're moving up to the series, that makes sense. Otherwise, just
a way to put a little bit more fun into it.
I just think if you're taking a one-off driver, say a guy wins the most poles in the Xfinity Series and then is staying in the Xfinity Series the next year,
right.
What cup team is going to want to take them on to pay for them to have a car and all that? I think that might get a little silly. But if it's a guy that's moving up, absolutely.
Yeah.
That race could have benefited from having a Tyler Reddick or a Christopher Bell race.
Exactly.
No doubt about it.
Exactly. So that'll about finish it up for this show here. So thanks for watching, guys. I'm Ian Jortson.
I'm Mike Gamble.
I'm Nick Kinzel.
Thanks for watching. Check us out this week for all of our new episodes.